Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Smart Podcast Trashy Books. I am Sarah Wendell, and this is part two of the bonkers romance recap of A Lady of Rooks Grave Hall by Catherine Moon. Part one with me, Melody, and Jenny is over at Bonkers Romance. So hello and welcome, Bonkers Romance listeners. I'm so happy to have you here with us today. We are going to start right in the middle of the book and recap to the end, so I want to let y'all know this episode is extremely not safe for work. Don't recommend listening with your kids in the car, unless you have headphones in which case, drive carefully. And I want to be clear, this is a recap of the second half of the book, so spoilers ahoy. I want to thank Melody and Jenny for inviting me to be on the show and for sharing the episode with me here. Hello and thank you to the Patreon community. You keep the show going and you make sure that every episode, including this one, has a transcript thanks to Garlic Knitter. If you would like to have a look at our Patreon, go to patreon.com/smartbitches. This episode is brought to you by Picnic in Someday Valley by Jody Thomas. New York Times bestselling author Jody Thomas welcomes readers back to the picturesque Texas Valley that cradles the town of Honey Creek. Benjamin Monroe is pretty sure how his life will play out. He'll continue teaching chemistry in his small college and spend his free time biking through the valley. Eventually, he'll retire to putter around in his garden. His colleague, Virginia Clark, is not one for routines. She's chatty and spontaneous, and before Benjamin realizes what has happened, she's talked him into collaborating on a research project. Soon enough, their project, The Chemistry of Mating, is gaining notoriety. Friends, neighbors, the whole town has become involved. But no matter what the data determines, one conclusion seems inescapable. Love follows its own rules. With the blend of romance and women's fiction, Picnic in Someday Valley is perfect for book clubs. Picnic in Someday Valley by Jody Thomas is available now wherever books are sold. Find out more at kensingtonbooks.com. This episode is brought to you in part by Fast Growing Trees. It is spring everywhere here, and I am so excited to see the hydrangeas we bought last year from Fast Growing Trees coming back. Now we have a frost-resistant gardenia, and I have never had one of those. I'm really excited about it because I know it's going to do okay where I live. When it comes to caring for your plants, know-how matters. FastGrowingTrees.com's experts curate thousands of plant varieties that thrive in one specific climate, yours, and will meet your location and your needs. There's no waiting in line. There's no messy cars. Your plants are shipped to your door in 1 to 2 days. Plus, their growing and care advice is available 24/7. Whether you're looking for privacy, shade, color, fragrance, adding some natural beauty to your yard, Fast Growing Trees has the perfect plants and the expertise to help you find them. Go to FastGrowingTrees.com/Sarah right now, and you'll get 15% off your entire order. Get 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com/Sarah. fastgrowingtrees.com/Sarah. This episode is brought to you by Stamps.com. And yep, I still feel like a real podcaster when I say that. Even though I am a small business owner who works mainly on the internet, I still have things to mail for my business. I have giveaways to run. I have prizes to ship. I got books to mail. And as much as I like the people who work at my local post office, without fail, when I go, it's always crowded. With Stamps.com, I skip the trip and the time in line and focus on other things. Stamps.com saves me time, money, and stress. Stamps.com gives me access to all the post office and UPS shipping services I need right from my computer. And I get discounts I don't find anywhere else, like 40% off of post office rates and 76% off UPS. All I need is a computer and a standard printer. No special equipment needed. Stop overpaying for shipping with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code Sarah for a special offer that includes a 4-week free trial, free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code Sarah. This episode is brought to you in part by Switchcraft, my new favorite game. Switchcraft is a brand new story-driven take on Match 3 games. You know the games where you match 3 gems or sparkly things? As you play Switchcraft, you unlock new chapters of a gorgeously drawn graphic novel. In Switchcraft, you play as Bailey, a witch at Pendle Hill, the world's top academy of witchcraft. Their roommate has gone missing, and each choice you make brings you further into the mystery. The best part? The cast is incredibly inclusive, with characters who are non-binary, disabled, and from a variety of cultural backgrounds. And did I mention the art is gorgeous? I cannot tell you how pretty it is. The choices you make determine the outcome of the story, and there are romance options. Plus, Bailey has a cat that you help care for. The cat's name is Magnus. I love this game mostly because of the art, so give it a try. Download Switchcraft for free and unlock the magical mystery. Are you ready for the incredible second half of A Lady of Rooksgrave Hall? It's a lot. It's wonderful. It's wholesome monster erotica, which I didn't think was a thing, but is totally a thing, and I adore it. On with the podcast with me, Melody, and Jenny.
Oh my gosh, I cannot believe there's more. You would think that that would be like the whole book.
Yeah, you think, oh, okay, there's public fucking and she's seen him and that is the climax of that particular piece of tension. Oh no, there's
no
more. There's more.
Not at all.
Do not know how we can possibly top that or where we can go from here, but I'm ready.
Yeah, get ready.
When we last left you, yes, so where we left off.
We were at the theater.
We were at the theater.
Our favorite type of theater.
Yes, the fuckathon theater.
She has this climactic experience with Mr. Tanner.
Who says, you come on this cock like the good little girl you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Mm-hmm. Tanner's like that. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
Yep.
And as she's coming, she can see like a weird dude who's like acting weird. Everybody else is like writhing out in the audience.
They're and, all you know, fucking too. They're just like, all right, that's it.
Yeah.
We got to fuck now.
Yeah.
We have our limits.
We have.
But there's this guy who's like facial features seem to like change and waver in the air. And she's really weird about it. And she gets a terrible feeling. And so now, like Sarah said, with the tantalizing nightmares, it's all about the relationship between fear and arousal. Now she's like actually coming and yet feeling this fear that's completely outside of her sexual experience. It's a really interesting twist that Catherine Moon just snuck in there. Mm-hmm. So afterwards, they immediately take her out to the carriage and August is like, I saw him too. Oh my gosh. And so in the carriage, they try to explain to me, Melody, who this person is, and it doesn't super work. They say that his name is Bersha. Yeah, and apparently he was
the king of Gomorrah, as in Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah.
Yeah, and so back in the BC times with Sodom and Gomorrah, he knew what was going to happen, and so he somehow like made his connections and made it so he either like didn't die or like maybe did die and was resurrected. Nobody really knows because he's clouded in such mystery. The crux of the matter is that he runs clubs that are sort of similar to Rooksgrave, but no one there is consenting.
It's all rape.
Oh.
Like, and he says,
it's all rape.
It's explicitly, you are hedonistic and you find joy in sex. He wants nothing but fear and he wants to destroy the joy you find in sex.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't like that.
No, we hate him.
We're not big fans. I mean, what better establishment of a villain though? Like, you have all of this joy in sex. This person wants you to have none of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
As they're going home, they're like, we're going to have to noodle on this for a while.
Yeah, this is a problem.
And we'll have to.
He's a big bad.
Tell.
Big.
Yeah, he's a big bad.
Bad.
And nobody knows how to fight him or kill him and stuff. But then they go to bed, and the next chapter is a day of absolutely nothing. And it made me so happy because it's like all of my dreams come true, first of all, in this scene. But they wake up and she wakes Jonathan by going down on him.
Yep.
And up until this point, like, Mr. Tanner has not really let Jonathan out to play because he has wanted her for himself, basically. And so there was also in that like group negotiations chapter when Mr. Tanner was like, okay, well, or like, I will have to let Jonathan get some time on the schedule, I guess. I can do that. So she wakes him up by going down on him. And then he brings her up and he's like, I'm not wasting any of my time with you. And she's like, it's not a waste. Sucking cock rules. And he's like, not as much as fucking you. So they have sex. And then as they're chatting, he talks a little bit about his friendship with August. Yeah.
There's a really good line here that I don't want to miss.
Oh, yes.
So he's boning her. And she says, This was nice. No, nice is when a lad had the sense to hunt for your clit a little to make it feel decent for you, too, as you went about his business getting off. This was lovely.
Oh, yeah,
because Jonathan is in to her having pleasure because he woke up her pleasuring him. And he's like, no. I'm going to draw your pleasure, too. So again, it's that, oh, wait, you really want me to feel good. I could get used to this.
Yeah, it's great. So then we learn that he and August are like best friends.
Yeah.
And they have been for a little while. That's how August found Rook's grave. And August up until this point, like, had sort of had lovers, but he'd never had a lover that he could feed on. And so that's very new for him. So then they start hatching this plan and they're like, what do you think he would think about like me waking him up the same way? You know, like he's in his vampire death sleep, but like, I bet he would like waking up like hard and being ridden. And
wait, she's going to do this.
Yeah. Esther's like, well, okay, wait, what happens if I wake up August with, you know, magic boner? What happens if I wake up a vampire who's completely dead to the world at this moment? Cause it's the daytime.
And so Jonathan's like, funny you said that. He actually left his little hidey hole unlocked because I did tell him, you know, there might be the possibility of something like that, of just us visiting, you know. So they go into the room and she's like, how do I get him hard? And he goes, how would you normally get him hard? She's like, okay, all right, snotty. Jesus. She asks him, like, have you and August... And he's like, you know, sometimes we help each other out as friends.
Because it's Jonathan knows where everything is in August's chamber. And there's a vial of oil for her to use conveniently there. And she's like, wait a minute here.
Yeah.
How do you know this?
Yeah, exactly.
It's great. So then she actually does, like, he gets fully erect while in his vampire death sleep.
Yeah.
And she mounts him.
Yep.
And then Jonathan is back there being like, how does he feel? And so they have this whole interplay together. And then one of the things he warned her about is that August will wake up hungry and he will immediately bite. And so he says, the only thing you need to do is to stay still so that you don't tear anything.
Yeah. Don't pull
like,
away.
I can totally do that. Yeah. Sure. And so he does. He leaps up. She's still riding him. And he just like grabs onto her throat. And she's like, it hurts, but it hurts so good. August turns her over and they're fucking. And then Jonathan comes over and he like coats his finger in oil and like starts playing with August's asshole. And
yes, he does.
And Esther looks at Jonathan over August's shoulder and says, fuck him. I want the both of you pinning me down.
It's great. And so then she sees the difference that Jonathan, the difference with which he fucks both of them, because he was really like gentle with her and la la la. And with August, he's just like, oh, like, God, it's happening. And it's very,
yes, Jonathan, very hot. Pounded down into our tangled union.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am delighted.
And
I need some Barbie dolls to, but I am delighted.
Oh my God. Let's review. The title of this chapter is A Day of Absolutely Nothing. false, Catherine Moon. this was a chapter of technicolor goodness, is what it was. So now they go back to Rook's grave.
This chapter is called A Study of Hierarchy.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So we're going to start figuring out the hierarchy of all of these monsters. Because at the intersection of reverse harem and monster fucking, there is this book, basically.
Yeah, basically. So they get there and a couple of other club owners who we don't actually need to know anything about are there. The only point is that the club owners are like trying to figure out what the fuck, because girls are disappearing from other clubs too.
Yeah.
And it's super not okay.
So this Bersha person is big batting all over the place and it's circling around them and it's a present danger.
Yeah.
And so they've gone back to Rook's grave, but Rook's grave isn't any safer than it was before they left.
No. Correct. And the other houses that serve other fae groups are also having problems, and they're trying to figure out a way to work together to protect each other. Mm-hmm.
But Booker and Ezra are there, and so she is over the moon. She's like, Booker! And grabs him around the neck, and then Ezra comes over and like gets her, and it's their reunion is so sweet. But then they like put her in a bath and she starts talking to August about this hierarchy.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, like the Sphinx is never gonna be topped, right? Because he's like thousands of years old. And then I think it's August and then Mr. Tanner's over August. It doesn't matter. Then Booker and Ezra.
Yeah.
Essentially. It's really interesting to her because she's just like, I like you all equally, you know, like there's no hierarchy here, but we do hear about hierarchies with other girls and their clients.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Later on, there'll be like a girl who's like, oh, this one wants to like marry me and take me away. And then another girl leans over and is like, but he's not her favorite. It's very funny.
Then Ezra has a surprise. While she's been gone, Ezra has been working with Magdalena, and he has, with her help, figured out a way to temporarily break the curse so that she can see him. And so he appears to her and she gets to see what he looks like, but only when he's concentrating. So it's only a few moments where she can recognize, but she's never seen him before. So there's this total stranger. She's like, who the fuck are you? And he's like, it's me.
Well, and he wakes her up being on top of her.
He's like, hello.
And he's like talking in another voice and accent or whatever.
Yeah.
And so she's like, what the fuck? And he's like, just kidding, Pusheen. Because he calls her Pusheen. Just, it's me. It's me. And this is my beautiful face and my hulking body.
And my she's like, giant cock. Yep.
Oh, yeah. She's like, I am so smart, even when you're invisible. Like, you're hot when I can see you.
Lots of plot, lots of fucking. From now till the end, get ready.
Yeah.
Buckle up.
Okay.
Eamon. Oh, and so now she has a conversation with Eamon where she's like, I really need you to get on board and be serious about accepting them, but not just accepting them, but like learning from the other men and like really sharing and getting on board with this because I want you to be part of our little family.
Basically,
but you're sort of like you're keeping yourself apart.
Here's a ladder. Get over yourself now.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
She's basically. Like, look, bro, you got to take it down a notch. We're all going to work together. You could be part of that. But here's the deal. You cannot maintain this hierarchy with your treatment of the others.
Right.
You could be in on the orgy times and you're missing the orgy times and you might
it's
like
a nice time.
Exactly.
It's a great time. So they like have dinner as a group and that's very cute. And he and Ezra start like bickering, which is very cute. And then Booker wakes her up by going down on her the next morning. And she's like, oh my gosh, Booker, fuck me, fuck me. And he's like, I can't. And she's like, what are you talking about? Of course you can. I'm saying you can right now. And he says, but August says I can't. August said to wait. And she's like, what?
What?
Like, huh? In what world does August tell you, like, who is August? And Booker says, I like him.
Aww.
He said I should do as much as I want with my mouth and fingers, but wait until tonight.
Tonight, because they're scheming.
Special treat?
Oh, yeah. She's never been to a Rook's grave party, Jenny.
Oh.
Yeah.
Neither have I.
I know. So she talked to August a little while ago about, like, doing the party scene. And he's like, oh, yeah, we can definitely make that happen. So they go downstairs, they have like dinner, and then they go into like the group room where the parties happen. There's a subplot with another one of the women who work there who like doesn't like it. Like, but she's there because she, like, she's making the choice to be there still, but she doesn't like her monsters. She's not into it.
Very predatory. And she's in it for the money. She wants them to buy her things. She wants to get enough money to get out. This is not, she considers herself above all of the work that she's doing, and they are a means to an end.
Right. Oh.
Yeah.
It's suboptimal.
So she's like giving him like a really lame blowjob, and it's sad. And so poor Esther is over there, and Ezra is like going down on her like crazy as he's invisible. So everybody's getting a view of just like wet cunt.
Yes.
And then
I've heard female arousal described as a wide on, and that is what is happening here. She has a wide on in front of the whole room. Yeah. It's a wide on. Like, because he's invisible and his whole head and shoulders are there. So she's just like, woo.
Yeah.
Upsy daisy.
Oh, it's great.
Yep.
It's great. And so then they're like, all right, it's time for the main event. But, oh, and the reason that they switch it up is because she's basically like, during the whole time she's getting gone down upon, she's looking over at this guy and being like, oh my gosh, he deserves so much better. Like, he should be with a lady who really appreciates him and likes him for him.
Yep.
And they're like, do we need to make you come to get you to not be distracted anymore? And she's like, sure. And now Booker goes, he walks in and he lays down on the ground, and she's like, it's Booker time.
Oh, yeah. Has she fucked Booker before?
Mm-hmm. He's given her the morning dress and fingers, and he's gone down on her, and she's, you know, rubbed up against him, but nope, there has been no Booker time, and now it's Booker time.
Not only is it Booker time, Jenny, okay, and not only is it like sort of being directed by August, but August wants to play jealousy games. And so as she's writing Booker, he's like, oh, he's the best you've ever had, isn't he? And she's like, he's the best. Oh my God. Like, he's like, oh, you would trade all of us for just like one more fuck with him, wouldn't you? And she's like, yeah, I would. And Booker, meanwhile,
I love this for Booker.
This sort of like cool group affirmation of Booker's like personhood and prowess was so gorgeous to see. Like,
I didn't know I wanted it, and I love it.
That's exactly how I felt.
Surprise!
Yeah.
She's riding Booker, and August gets behind her and starts fingering her asshole. And he says, does it hurt? And she says, no, Booker made me take three this morning.
So good. And August likes that. But they have like pillow talk afterwards. They go up to the room and she's like, you do know that I wouldn't trade any of you for any of the other ones. And he's like, no, I absolutely know that. That's why it's hot sex talk.
Right.
Like, it wouldn't be hot if it was true. But I know that you like us equally. And I really like that. It's so sweet.
And did any
of the sad monsters recognize that like this is better and different?
Yeah.
There's like, not enough of her to go around.
There's not enough of her to go around. But they kind of realize, oh, wait, I could have more than just this being resentfully serviced by someone.
I volunteer as tribute.
Right? Like, one of the things I thought of when I was reading this is that I know monster fucking books, for lack of a better term, are extremely popular. And the idea in this book is that there's this idea that there aren't very many women who are willing to fuck monsters. And I'm like, but given the popularity of monster fucking books in the real world, I bet there'd be a lot of women who would be completely down to fuck monsters. Like, this isn't actually a rare commodity anymore.
Come out of the woodwork, monsters.
Right, exactly.
You let us know.
And the thing about Esther is that she recognizes August's game. Like, oh, you like to be jealous. You like to play with jealousy. And he's like, well, yes, I like the fire of possessiveness, but only because I know that I am safe with you.
Yeah.
So there's this idea where they're beginning to articulate that their relationships are unique and safe, and that they can explore being who they really are and what they really like, because they are safe with each other, because they trust each other, which is highlighted by the other relationships in the Rooksgrave Manor house, which are not that.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This book, man.
There's a lot.
Truly.
There's a lot.
Truly. And
it's not just a lot of fucking. I mean, there's a lot of fucking, but there's a lot more going on. There's a lot. So then she wakes up the next morning and some bad shit goes down.
Yeah.
Booker is standing over her and she's like, oh, hey, it's Booker. And then he starts talking and she realizes it is not Booker. Someone has taken possession of Booker and he's grinning at her in a scary way. And he's like pinning her down. And this voice is like, oh, yes, golems are tools. They're empty vessels. I can take over. And she looks up and she goes, oh, Bersha. And he says, you're not stupid. You're exceptional, but you're not stupid. And I should find you as delightful. And I think I'd rather kill you than keep you. And what she does is she reaches up to Booker and convinces Booker's presence in his body to fight back against this possession and to throw him out. And eventually that happens. Booker manages to come back into himself and push out this invasion. And Magda realizes, oh, okay, we have a problem. Booker is now more attached to Esther than he is to Magda, who made him. And so there is a ceremony where they are all standing in a circle and Magda goes through the magical process of untethering Booker to her and tethering Booker to Esther instead.
Oh,
because otherwise he's vulnerable. And she really...
She's really not comfortable with the idea that she is responsible for him, because this tethering is a bind between them, but there's still a power dynamic there, because that binding is power over him. And she really struggles with it, but then she realizes that if she doesn't do it, he is not safe, and neither are they, but he is in danger. And
he talks to her and he's just like, because she's like, Booker, what do you want to do?
What if we did it with somebody else? What if you tethered to Augustine? Booker's like, no, I only want you. So there's that layering of safety again.
Yeah. I'm yours anyway.
It has to be you.
Of course I want to be tethered to you. I have to be tethered to you. My heart is tethered to you anyway.
Yes. And then then she says, but what if Booker. I accidentally use my will against you when we're doing things and I make you do something that you don't want to do? And he says, it would be my pleasure.
And then Magda jumps in and she's like, honestly,
you really have to focus to control a golem. And listen, when you're fucking, you're not focused. So it's really not a problem you need to be worried about.
So it's like not something she needs to worry about.
Ezra can't maintain visibility while he's boning because he is distracted and can't concentrate. Same thing here. And she's like, oh, okay, then. All right, I accept. And they go through what is essentially a binding ceremony between them. All of them are there for the ceremony. And Booker becomes tethered to Esther. And it's so
beautiful.
It's so beautiful. Then it's time for lots and lots of sex, because they are going to go to Amon's house to keep her safe.
There's one point where they're all sitting there and he's like, I would like to plan a dinner. And they're like, oh, wow, trying to steal our girl from underneath us, huh? Like ribbing him. And he's like, no, you misunderstand. I want a dinner for the whole group. And they're like, Eamon, like all of us, nobody would begrudge you a night with her. Like we were just teasing you, bro.
It's cool. And he's like, no, all of you.
And he's like, no, Esther wants it this way. This is the way I want it too. Yep. As a result. Oh, so they have this dinner at Eamon's house. And then Eamon says, hey girl, do you want to be at Rook's grave forever? Because I think that it might be cool to have just like a relationship, all six of us.
Yeah.
All right. And then she goes, well, seven, Mr. Tanner's here too. And it's very cute. Basically, they kind of propose group marriage to her. And by the end of the conversation, she says yes. So now it's time.
I love it.
Yeah. And she notices, because she's like, Booker, what do you think? Would you like this kind of, you know, situation where we like travel and we do other stuff? And she realizes that Booker has been like riveted by everything he sees because he's never been away from Rook's grave before. And so he looks at her and he's like, I would very much like to travel.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
But and so they're going to be a family, but then there's more sex.
They have to celebrate.
They have to celebrate. So Ezra.
Do the swords cross?
Oh,
I need some swords crossing.
So Ezra teases her right to the edge and says, you may not come. I am going to get you so close. And the next person that walks in the room, I'm going to be invisible. I'm going to be watching. The next person that walks in the room, you have to convince them to fuck you. And she's like, what if it's one of the servants? He says, I don't care.
Yeah, what if it's one of the other girls?
I don't care. So you have to do what I say. So he gets her right to the edge and she is just, oh my gosh, what do I do? What do I do? And in walks Booker.
Oh, and I'm sorry. Before in walks Booker, she is up against the wall and she's watching herself in a mirror.
Yes, mirror time.
Mirror time.
Invisible
now.
Ezra is dicking her down against the wall and all she can see is herself splayed out getting fucked.
Uh-huh. I didn't know I needed this. And it's so good.
And it could have been. It could have been just a book about invisible fucking, but that's just just one of many kinds of fucking. Like this is a real, it's a very, very fulsome selection here. So then Booker walks in and she's like, oh my God, yes, Booker, fuck me right now. And they all walk in and she's like, you planned this. And they're like, oh, of course we did. Don't be ridiculous. So then there's a dinner party. Amazing.
Then the dinner party happens.
Amon's house is just completely opulent, off the chain. Like,
of course,
they're all making like, wait, he's Egyptian and he really likes Grecian architecture. Like, isn't this a little bit much? And they're like, yeah, it's him, whatever. And he comes in, and he is just like, welcome to all of you, and welcome to my star, and this is our home now. He has made this incredibly giant, safe home, and they have an amazing dinner, and then they have lots and lots of sex.
Yes, celebration sex.
And Amon says, I don't want to be your cage, little star. I'd like to be your home. So this is like the establishment of safety and home and family, but also whole lot of fucking.
So dreamy,
Jenny.
There
be so much like just gooey wholesomeness.
I know. It's also such gooey, wholesome fucking.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Then Amon says to Ezra, Mr. McKenna, you won't mind allowing us a good view of our star as you fill her up. So they all watch her be fucked by the invisible Ezra.
At Amon's request.
At Amon's request. Yeah.
Like, that's amazing.
So now they're all into watching and doing and trading places. And it's delightful. And one of the things that, have you ever read a romance and you're like, okay, sex scene's a little boring. I get it. Boongada, boongada, boong. Okay, moving on. Can we go back to the plot?
Yeah.
The plot is the sex. The sex is the plot. And it's never boring. It's never boring.
How?
With not a single
much
time.
Fucking,
yes.
How does it? Because as you let off at the very beginning with there's only so many holes.
Yep.
And I know. Like you can only stuff them so many ways.
It's not like we're going for nostril sex all of a sudden. No, it's just the same number of holes we're talking about.
Yeah, I know. So then the next morning is about to happen, and August is like, "I will see you tonight." I've got to go to my daytime sleep.
Back to Rook Grave Manor because that is the safe place for him to have his day rest. And Amon's like, oh, I do need to make a safe place for him here. I will do that. But August knows that he is safer in the subterranean vampire resting areas. They're there, not at Amon's house. So he goes back.
And it's really interesting because he can see that like Booker's like, you're sad. And she's like, I mean, no, I'm not. I miss him, but it's not necessarily like I miss us just being a unit. I miss us being together.
When one is missing, she feels that absence. Like she wants everyone there.
Yeah, she feels bereft.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then they're going back to Rook's grave, all as a group in the carriage. And
Amon sits up in the carriage. Amon's like, something is wrong. And he springs out of the carriage. His wings erupt and he flies up into the sky. And this is not the first time that he's had a premonition. He also was able to, during the sun, apparently there's something with the sphinxes and the sun, whatever the sun touches, they can see. So if it's night or if it's dark or if it's underground, he doesn't have access. But anything that happens under the sun, he can have access to. So he knew Mary, the other girl who was not as kind and was very mercenary about it. He knew her backstory by looking at her. And he now knows something is very wrong. And he runs out of the carriage, rips his wings off and flies in the middle of the day. And they're all like, Is he going to get caught? Like, is somebody going to see this giant Sphinx dude just flying through the air? And they're like, he must have magic to hide himself because that was a lot for the English countryside. Yeah. Like,
absolutely. All of the locals well, and are not to like, mention what? The fact that he's not like histrionic. Like, there is obviously shit going down if that is how he is acting.
Yeah.
Sphinxes and there is prophetic. Because Rook's Grave Manor is burning the hell down.
No.
Yes. Three Ifrits came in. And they put their fires everywhere. They got like permission from one of the other workers. And
they forged their way in and they set fire to the whole house while fucking was going on. And so they're all trying to get the girls out and the monsters out. But it is daylight. It is not safe. So they have
it's not safe for the vampires particularly.
No. Yeah.
And so then Booker and Ezra go running into the fire and she tries to go too, but Mr. Tanner grabs her and he's like, you need to chill the F out.
Right.
Like, because we can't even bring August out because he would burn up.
So if the fire doesn't kill him, bringing him out in the daylight will, and you are human, this is dangerous. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, damn it.
She's like, so is Ezra. Yeah. And like Magda says, Booker won't be hurt because he's made of marble. And she's like, I just don't know that that's true. And so she uses her tether to pull him out.
Yeah.
And Booker is like holding one of the girls who did, she ends up dying. They lose one person in the fire and it's Cassie, the poor sweetheart, who I think was the werewolf fucker at the beginning.
Yeah.
I know. She was like, formative to Esther's experience.
And Magdalena says, all right, we have all of these monsters. We need to get everyone somewhere safe. We need to hide them. And Amon says, my home is open to all of you. And he has gone from being like, everybody get the fuck out of my house to all of these monsters and people I don't know you are welcome in my home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that growth.
I know.
So much.
So they all go back to his house. And then the men like spend most of the days back at Rook's grave trying to excavate and find August and Ezra, because they did not come out at all.
No.
Yeah. So she is freaking out.
So they're partially putting out the smoldering house and they're partially trying to find August, which is, of course, he's down underground. So all of the rubble has fallen down on top of where they would get to him. They're met by one of Amon's sister creatures. Her name is Khepri. And she is another Sphinx and she has come to protect them. And she comes to Magdalena and she says, I am here to protect you and your community and your people if you will accept me. And Magdalena's like, yes, I graciously accept.
I very much want them to be a couple later. They are, right?
Yeah.
They have to be.
There's a lot of romantic sexual tension there between the Sphinx and Magdalena. It's pretty great.
Lots of it.
I'm here for the sequel. So they go back to the house and they figure out a way where it's mostly safe enough for her to go in. And she's being escorted. And they go into the library. Magdalena says, if you can save any of my work, all of my papers, all of my spells, all of my records, if you can save anything, go there and see what you can find. She's like, all right, I'm on it. She goes to the library and she meets this creature with enormous green guy with big horns. And he's guarding the door. And she's like, Who are you? And he says, I'm one of this person's creatures. And he says, but I'm not her favorite.
Yeah.
And she says,
it's one of those.
You deserve someone who is your favorite who thinks you are her favorite. You deserve to be someone's favorite.
Yeah, and he's like, stop flirting. You've got a lot on your plate. And she's like, I know,
but I'm going to. And then she keeps flirting with him. It's great. So he agrees to help her. He's guarding. So he escorts her through, and suddenly she hears somebody calling her name. And she thinks it's Augusta.
Esther.
And she's like, what? Woo. Huh? So the green guy with horns, his name is Asterion. She runs away from him and he's like, what the fuck? Where are you going? And she books it through these corridors, following this voice, being called. And she
gets, and all of her men have seen this happen. And so they're coming after her too.
Yeah. And she outruns them and she disappears. And there in a room is Auguste.
His hands are staked to the roots of a tree.
Yeah, he is staked to
the
wall.
I don't like it.
He's covered with blood. He is very weak. He's emaciated. He's very weak. And there is Bertia. And he is sitting there having tortured Auguste. And he is sitting in front of a plate that holds the heart of another vampire. Mm-hmm. And apparently the way he stays immortal is to eat the organs of dead vampires. So he finds them, he kills them, and he eats their organs. I don't even want to know what that does to your blood pressure. That sounds terrible.
No way.
So, this motherfucker's got to die.
Yes. And the first thing she's trying to do is she is trying to memorize his features, because one of the ways that he gets away with so much is that he keeps making people forget what he looks like. And she's like, I'm going to catalog his features. I'm going to make him pay attention. And she's like, why do you have Auguste pinned and staked to a tree? And he says, leverage. We can sit here and I will not kill you and I will not kill him, but you must realize that neither of you are leaving this room alive. I'm going to kill him. You're going to watch, and I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to rape you first, and I'm going to make you hate the thing that you love. Mm-hmm. And this is my favorite part of Esther. This is the moment I love her the most.
Same.
She's like, you want to fuck me? And he goes, no, rape. And she gasped, but not at the threat. Oh, how clever. A terrible old man threatening to rape me. I would have rolled my eyes at Bertia if it weren't for the soft brush of calloused fingers at the back of my neck. It's Ezra.
Ezra's here.
He's been hiding in the room the whole time, and Bertia cannot see him. And so she acts like she's afraid, but then she starts playing along because she knows Ezra's literally at her back. So she starts playing up to Bertia, like, well, how do you know I won't like it? How do you know that I wouldn't enjoy it? Maybe I want to come with you. Maybe I would like to.
Oh, I love it so
Maybe
much.
I would.
And she's like, use me at one of your clubs. Like, I'm sure that all of your patrons would love a girl like me.
You know,
and
my men chase me and try to make me afraid. And I love every minute. And he goes, yes, you chose that. And she's like, I make lots of choices and I think you're afraid of me. And Bertia does not like being called on his bullshit. I think you're afraid you can't break me. You like to make people suffer. What if you can't hurt me more than I would enjoy?
Get it.
Wow.
It's so good. And
powerful
Yeah. He is off kilter. He does not know what to say or do or whatever. But there is a steak knife in front of him on the table.
So he puts the steak knife down on the table and he is focused on Esther, and Esther is keeping his attention on her, and she's still coming on to him and keeping him off balance. And he's like, I want to own the beasts. I want to own Mr. Tanner. I want to kill him in front of you. I want you to be afraid. And she's like, well, what if I'm not? And he keeps going and threatening her. And suddenly she feels something cold pressed into her hand, and it is the knife. And Ezra pushes her forward and she stabs Bertia right in the heart.
Yeah.
And then the spell that had been keeping them secret, from hiding them from everyone, is broken. And she can hear all of the others calling for her. And she's like, we're in here. We're in here. And Ezra's like getting their attention. And he looks at her and his like blood in his mouth. And she pulls the knife out of his chest and stabs him in the throat.
Yes.
Yeah, she does.
And then
it's so good.
He gathers all of his power and he disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
And August is like, what took you so fucking long? He put that knife down like 20 minutes ago. And this was like, I had one chance and I didn't want him to see the knife because I would be in my hand, which he can't see. But a knife floating through the air is kind of obvious.
Right.
And Ezra is like, keep her away from Auguste. He is starving. And she's like, I don't care. He will feed from me. And she goes up to him and he drinks from her and saves his life. by drinking from her completely and knows exactly when to stop so that he won't kill her. And they're all like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And she's like, it's fine. It's fine. He knows me. He trusts me and I trust him.
It's beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Catherine Moon, how like the tension that she keeps, because this is, I love romance, obviously, right?
Right,
like,
right.
But I do find myself sometimes where I'm like, once the couple is sort of together, the tension is gone for me.
Right. Yes.
And it can be sort of a slog to get through the back half
yes.
of the book.
Right.
And this is just like yo-yoing uh-huh. me with tension and like, yep. and fucking and tension and fucking, and it's masterful.
It really mm-hmm. is. So they all yeah. go back and they realize, wait a minute. It's daylight. We cannot bring August out. It's daylight.
But
he'll die.
Bersha could come back at any moment. So we have to leave regardless.
Yes. We have to get to Amon's house because that is safe. We can't stay here, but we can't bring August out because it's sunlight. And Amon says, I can help. And Amon uses his magic to extend the protection from the sun over August so August can walk out into the sun without
wow.
danger.
He's a daywalker now, Jenny.
Yeah. And there's a moment where he power. Sees his own shadow and he's just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Yeah. And I really liked this because she's like, oh my gosh, and I can't believe you did this. This is amazing. And he's like, honestly, I really don't thank me. I should have done it ages ago. And like, I knew I could do it and I didn't. And she's like, no, you're wonderful. And she's hugging him. And it's really sweet. Yeah. I would have been a little ticked that this could happen and it didn't, yeah. but yeah. that's fine.
Yep.
It's fine.
And
you did
she's
it
much more generous than I.
And August says, this is a gift. This is rebirth. You have given me a rebirth into the world.
Yeah.
And Amon is actually a little embarrassed family. That he didn't get it done.
Well, and now she's like, this is incredible because we don't have to be apart. Like, this is everything I've wanted
yes.
for the entirety of our relationship because I don't like going 12 hours with one of us being away from the other.
Exactly. Mm. And Amon recognized she is sad when he is gone, so he will make it so they are together.
Yeah.
But
so
wait,
now they're
more.
Like, we're not going to stay at Rook's grave. But we do need to figure out something. And a lot of the guys have like closed their London houses and had them protected so that Bersha can't get to them.
Bersha is after all of them now because Bersha knows all of her men. She knows all, he knows all of the people who are with Esther.
Mm-hmm.
They are all vulnerable. And Amon mm-hmm. says, well, Bersha has no territory where I am from in the Middle East. And we will go to Egypt, to my home. So they travel.
And they're going. They won't. They go.
They go to Egypt.
They live there now.
They live in Egypt.
In a giant fuck palace.
In a giant fuck palace.
Fuck palace in Egypt.
Outside of Cairo.
Fantasy of fantasies.
It is isolated. No one knows where they are. And they just bone and hang out. And it is, they live in Star Manor. In Egypt.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So they bone and they hang out and then they also like do tiny archaeological excursions because they're trying to find out what Bersha is.
Right. And what his vulnerability
is. Who made him?
Is. Yeah.
What's his deal? How do we kill him?
Yeah. They're trying to figure out how to make Bersha vulnerable. And then there's an epilogue.
Yes.
In the epilogue, there's one last thing that needs to be addressed. And at one point, she had asked August, does being a vampire ever get old? And he says, no, it doesn't. It doesn't get old. Could I be one? And he said, ask me again in a year. And so mm-hmm. she finds him and she asks him.
No, he says, do you remember what you asked
yes.
me?
Do you remember what you asked me? And she's like, yes. And he says,
I think you would make a great vampire.
Said? She said, well, I asked you, would I make a good vampire? And he says, yes, you would make an incredible one. And he's offering to turn her so that she would be immortal too.
And he's like, we've seen what Amon can do. Like, you won't be yeah. sacrificing your days. And she's like, oh my God, you're offering me like forever with my family. We'd have to figure out something for Ezra. And he's like, yeah, we definitely would have to do that, but we will. And so they're going to be a family forever.
Forever and ever and ever.
My family, my home.
It's beautiful.
Holy fuck balls.
I know.
And the sequel is out in May, at the end of May, and it takes place in the theater.
Yeah, because when you said The Company of Fiends, I think is the title of the next one, and I was like, are we going back to the fuck theater?
Yes.
Two is fuck theater, part deux. Yep.
Incredible.
Do we know anything about it? Like, is it these characters, or do we get a different family?
No, it doesn't sound like it. So Company of Fiends, number two, is out on May 25th, and it stars a woman who works on the stage. Her last name is Nix. Hazel Nix. She is perfect for the theater. It is perfect for her. And she is hiding a great secret from her monstrous peers. And after so many lovers, she is thinking of leaving the theater. Ah, yes, there's a disaster at the theater. Girls are missing. Bad luck plagues the stage. And between ex-lovers, bed partners, and new faces, her heart is tangled. And she has to make a choice, start fresh, or take a stand and fight for the family she's found in the strangest of places.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm going to read Catherine Moon's entire backlist in the meantime.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yep. Isn't this book just delightful?
Wow. Yes. Oh, my God. Completely and utterly.
Thank you for bringing that to us, Sarah Wendell.
Yeah.
You're so welcome.
Thank you for having me.
This is tremendous fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and since part two is on Smart Bitches. So is that?
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
It is absolutely my pleasure. There are a few things I love doing more than recapping books that are completely off the chain with melodies so that we can just exclaim at each other about them. Right. It's too hot in here, but I actually have my Stay Golden Horny Girl sweatshirt right behind me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Yay.
So thank you so very, very much for making me part of the Bonkers catalog. I'm very honored. And that brings us to the end of this rollicking two-part recap. Have you read this book? What did you think? Did you just listen to the recap and say, wow, I think I need to read this? I would love to hear from you, and I'd love to hear what you think. You can email me at sbjpodcast@gmail.com. You can leave a message at 1-201-371-3272. You can also leave me a message with a bad joke, because you know I love those, and I have one coming up in a few minutes. Thank you again to Melody and Jenny for inviting me to be on Bonkers Romance, and thank you to all of you from the Bonkers Romance community who visited with us today. It's lovely to have you here, and if you are curious about their show, head over to bonkersromance.com. As always, I end each episode with an absolutely terrible joke, and this week I have a joke from Maggie's Door of Incredibly Bad Puns. Are you ready? What do you get when you cross a snowman with a vampire? Give up? What do you get when you cross a snowman with a vampire? You get frostbite. I feel like that needs to be part of the sequel, right? Like a vampire who can only come out when it's cold. Somebody just got a really good idea for an erotica novel, and I am here for it. On behalf of everyone here, we wish you the very best of reading. Have a wonderful weekend. We will see you back here next week. Smart Podcast Trashy Books is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more outstanding podcasts to subscribe to at frolic.media/podcasts.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.